I feel today I'm going to be preaching on catch up four, and the title is Becoming a Part of Something Greater. Because I think we have an amazing opportunity as a church to be a part of something much bigger than sometimes we realize. Have you ever been in a place where you just kind of realize for a moment what's happening is a lot bigger than you can imagine or that you can feel? You know, there's moments where you're just like, wait a minute, this has greater impact than I feel like I'm currently getting. I remember when my family, Michelle and I and the kids we had then were leaving California to plant a church in just outside of Houston, Texas. And we were all ready to go, everything packed up, and there were some families moving with us. And as I was driving down the road away from my house, it hit me, you know, the thoughts of, I don't know that I'll ever come back to California to live again. And wow, the history and everything, it was the moment where almost felt like the Holy Spirit was like, hey, take note of this is more historic than you realize. And so you just kind of have that moment where you step back and you go, okay, I kind of hear what you're saying, though I can't see all the way down the road. I understand it. When Greg made the announcement on Sunday several weeks ago of the transition that's taking place and Tyler and Nicole taking over Northlands and them launching the apostolic part in greater detail for us, it was that I remember that Sunday morning, I knew it was coming. It wasn't like a surprise. We talked about it, planned for it for years. But I remember when we were in the prayer meeting before and even in worship before service even started, I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, generations down the road, when you're long gone and your kids are everywhere, way down the road, people are going to give thanks to God for this decision that was made here today. And it was just that sobering moment of this is bigger than what we're about to step into. And so as I was preparing for this morning, I couldn't help but keep getting pulled back to the story that's similar in Esther's life, where Esther was made queen. And there's crazy things going on of trying to get rid of the Jews and you know, bad guys setting up all of this stuff. Haman is going, hey, this is how we're going to do it. And she's made queen, and she has an opportunity to tell this horrible plan to the king. But, you know, in those days, you couldn't just approach a king and go, hey, guess what? And blah, blah, blah. You had to be summoned. And what if she didn't get summoned? And there's so many things that were happening. And Mordecai says this to her in verse 14. It's going to be up on the screen. I just feel like it has bite for this morning. It says this, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you've come to your royal position for such a time as this? I feel for us today that maybe you didn't just happen upon Northlands. Maybe it's just not another place to attend. Maybe God led you here, and maybe this is your time for such a time as this. We all have to look within ourselves. And in those moments where I've gone, wow, I feel like I stumbled into a piece of history where God is writing something out for me. And I'm on the path of that piece going, this is bigger than I realize. And I feel like the Lord wanted me to put before you that maybe the Lord brought you here for more than just attending a church or being a part of a fellowship and a family, though all of those are good. Maybe He brought you here for such a time as this. Peter's word, you'll meet Peter if you haven't soon, he's coming next month, but Peter's word that kind of formulated this whole thing was we're an apostolic household. And so as an apostolic household, I love the fact that he starts with were. We are. That means if you are a member here, you're a part of this apostolic household. It's not about one person or just a few. It's us, all of us. And that's what's on my heart to expand about today of what does that look like. So today I want to give you three things that I think could be really helpful for us when we're talking about stepping into this new season, that maybe this is a time for us, and each one of us has to consider that. I want to give you three things that'll help us become a part of something greater. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number one, you have a role. Every single one of these is gonna be simple, and it's designed to inspire you to realize something, but each one of you, though different, has a role to play in where the Lord is leading us. If you're a member here at Northlands or about to become a member or thinking about being a member, if you are here, you are a part of this apostolic household. And you're not just a part as a bystander or to get dragged along. You have a role to play here. I love to think of it as like God is cooking this amazing stew. Where's my stew, chef? I cannot do this. I'm going to confess this, but Michelle, my wife, does a great job. But I feel like what God is doing is he sat there and he got in front of a pot and he goes, what do we want to make for the East Coast of the United States? And as he was thinking, he filled some stuff and he goes, you know what we need? We need some Haswells. There's the Haswells. How can we? And he puts the Haswells. He goes, you know what else we need? And he begins to put together this pot that's bubbling and it's getting better and better. And sometimes my wife will taste soup and she goes, ooh, it feels like it's missing. I'm like, put in bowl. Let me eat, you know? It's like, she goes, Taysom, what do you think it's missing? And I go, more of it in my mouth? You know, that's what's missing. But I feel like the Lord loves to put this thing together and he tastes it and he goes, you know what I need right now? We need a little William and Phyllis. I need a Robbie and a Hannah. I need a Roy and a Troy. And he just begins. And he tastes it and he goes, nah, more Robbie, no more. It takes the lid off and just dumps the, I need a Hannah, I need a Melissa. I mean, whatever it is, you insert your name, because as he's brewing this pot, he goes, you know what this needs? And he picked you. In the 13 years that I've been here, it's been amazing for me to watch as the Lord has picked amazing people from all over the world and brought them here. Why? Because he's cooking something. And a time's coming when it's gonna be served and people get to enjoy it, and the impact he intended it to have, it's gonna happen. And so maybe you're here because the Lord said, you know what I need in this? He said, I need a little more, and it's you. And he didn't just bring you here because there weren't enough graves in wherever you came from, or because he wanted you to be in a hot, sticky, muggy weather with really easy traffic. Just kidding. Maybe he brought you here for such a time as this. You have a role. I love how Romans 12, 4 and 5 puts this. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ Jesus, For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to one another. It goes on to say we have different gifts according to the grace given us, but I want to say this. Don't downplay the gift or role that you are to the body. Don't do it. And don't downplay the gifts or role of other people either. Yeah. I remember when we were moving to Atlanta, we asked some people to pray, and I was leading a church in Texas, and they all prayed, and we were trying to figure out, are we supposed to move to Atlanta? Is this where the Lord wants us? And they all came back and asked me, said, yes. And one person said, you know, but there's one thing I have to tell you, and I'm afraid to tell you. And I was like, why are you afraid to tell me? And they go, well, it's a little different. I don't know how you're gonna respond. So I finally got it out of him and then said, I think the place you're going, you're not gonna lead. I was like, praise God. and the fear in telling me was because the thought is, well, if you move up a ladder, the higher you get, the better. And if you're more in front than behind, that's all rubbish. If you move into the place that God has you, that's what matters. My best seat is in the place of where I can support those who are leading. I'm confident of that. That's who God's made me to be. I can lead, I have, but that's not what he wants me to do. Any football team can have 11 players on the field. Some do 12. But it takes a different understanding for them to work together to accomplish what the coach has said. It's not easy. Every player on a football team, on a soccer team, on a baseball team, whatever it is, every player has an assignment. And when you draw a play, whether you're defending or you're moving forward, every person has an assignment. Even the people on the bench have an assignment. They're to be ready. They're to encourage. They're to cheer. It's no more or less, but every piece is needed. If the receiver doesn't depend on the quarterback to throw the ball and to be there when he's ready, the pass never, we never move downfield. If the people blocking don't block, we never move downfield. I mean, fill in whatever it is. But we as a team get to work together to accomplish what he's called us to. But before we can be a team, you have to remember how important your role is as an individual to be a part of a team. Well, that's great, Tom, but how do we find our role? So glad you asked. This is how you can find your role. Number one, ask God what your role is. If he was so kind and good to pick you up from where you were and to plant you here, he's the one that did that. He wants to speak to you. And since he's orchestrating this whole thing, he's going to tell you. I guarantee it. He loves to speak and guide to his children. He gave you your role. He'll let you know the specifics of what it is. He's going to open doors for you. He's going to show you along the way. He's going to use whatever's necessary to help us see what that looks like. Ask God what your role is. Look for it. Search it. Number two, ask a trusted leader or friend in your life what they see. Ask other people that are around you that you know and trust, what do you think the Lord may be calling to us? Because when I take a moment, whatever scenario I'm in, and I go, you know what, Lord, this all of a sudden this feels bigger than what I'm doing. What do you need me to do? That's the best place I can be. Because like I did, the Lord goes, oh, Tom, I'm so glad you asked, right? And then he lets us in on it. Ask a trusted friend or a leader. That's why God puts them in our life, to help us maneuver what it is that the Lord's doing. And then thirdly, go on a journey to find it. Make it a discovery. If I told you somewhere in the field next to the church is a bag of gold worth $50 million, you wouldn't run to the edge and go, I'd get dirty if I go down there. People are going to dive over that into the kudzu and whatever else is down there and start looking, right? Right? This is worth way more to find your role. Because the crazy thing about your role, like the passage I said, we each need one another. My role benefits and builds with everyone so that we can all accomplish what God had for the greater good. I can't run solo. What sport has one person? Even sports where one competes, it's still a team. We have an apostolic God who's in descending, and he sends teams of people, which we are a part of. My role is never designed for myself. Getting ahead of myself. If you know what your role is, then find a way to grow and master it. Look deeper, look farther. That's why I love 1 Peter 4:10. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do when it speaks the words of God. If you serve, you should do it with the strength God provides. So in all things, God may be praised. When you walk in the role you have, it brings praise to God, the body's encouraged, and we get to do what the Lord has called us to do in our city, in our nation, whatever it may be. Amen? Amen. Let's become a part of something greater. Number two, how you perceive matters. How you perceive matters. The other day I was driving home from work and pulled into my neighborhood, and as I'm driving down my road, you know, you just do the thing you normally do. I noticed this man who was going into people's mailboxes. I don't know why getting into a mailbox is a federal offense and other things are not. But as a result, I don't mess with mailboxes. And this guy kept going into mailbox. I was thinking, what is, man, that's pretty bold. Does he not know rules and, you know, how this works? And he just kept going. Then he got into somebody else's mailbox. So I get in my house and I'm watching out the window and I go, this is crazy. He's going, literally going into people, putting stuff in, taking stuff out. I'm thinking, what, who does this guy think he is? So knowing it's federal, I call 911. I'm like, this guy's not gonna touch my mailbox. So I call 911. I said, hey, there's some guy breaking a federal law. He's going through everyone's mailbox. And then at that moment, he reaches in my mailbox. I'm like, excuse me. I'm yelling and I'm on the phone. They're like, sir, what's going on? I go, there's this guy. Can you describe him? I go, well, I can't. Yeah, you know, he's, I don't know how tall he is. He's in this weird Jeep looking truck. Actually, the steering wheel's on the wrong side. This is the weirdest thing. There's a blue and red stripe and a big blue eagle on it. I need someone over here now. She said, you mean the mailman? I said, excuse me? I didn't ask the mailman to come to my house and bring me mail. How you perceive matters. To perceive is to recognize. That didn't happen, just so you know. To recognize, discern, to envision or understand. When we're talking about an apostolic household, when we're talking about becoming a part of something greater and catching up with the Lord saying, what you perceive matters. How we perceive people is extremely important. How we perceive the season we're in is extremely important. How we perceive the times is extremely important. This is an interesting passage that Jesus in Matthew 10 talks about. He says this and says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Jesus paints this amazing picture of how you welcome or perceive somebody, a sent one, a prophet, a righteous person, even a child. There's a reward that's available. There's something that happens when we perceive people correctly. And as an apostolic household in becoming something greater, it's really important. Let me give you an example. I don't know why I'm using Texas so much, but when I was in Texas leading a church there, we used to have Greg come, and I would ask Greg to come, and he would teach and meet with our leaders and all of these things. And one of the things that I realized is how we perceive him, how I perceive him is going, it has the opportunity to open a door of wealth and riches for the gift he is. If all I needed was someone to give me a break from a Sunday morning so I didn't have to preach, and that's what I asked Greg to do, then guess what? That's what I would have received. But what I had to realize is in that moment, there was so much more. If I asked him to come and preach and I got a rest, but I realized his calling and gifting in church government and apostolic clarity and leadership, man, we got a whole bunch more. A whole bunch more. It is so interesting to me that the way that we welcome or perceive a person determines what you will receive from them. Listen to what happened to Jesus, Matthew 13. In verse 54, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get wisdom and these miraculous powers from, they ask. Let's pause there for a minute. Jesus goes to his hometown. He walks in. Clearly, there is something distinctively different about the guy from the last time they saw him. As a matter of fact, the wisdom that he speaks with and these miraculous powers, they're like, this is crazy. Right? Starts off really good perception, but listen what happens next. Verse 55. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all of his sisters with us? where did this man get all of these things? And then, verse 57, they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And he did not do many miracles because of the lack of their faith. It started really good, but they perceived him and began to belittle him, and it took them to the place of where they were offended. That's crazy to me. There was so much more that Jesus wanted to do in his own hometown, but people couldn't get back past. Though they saw wisdom and power, they went to, wait a minute. This is the guy, we're not sure what happened. They said, the Holy Spirit birthed. They began to tear down so that they could make him beneath them. Man, that's a horrible place to be. Amen? How we perceive matters. If we look at Greg as a leader who has a funny accent, that's all you're going to receive. If you receive, yeah, you just listen to the funny accent the whole time. If you receive Greg as an apostolic father who brings the gospel of grace with power and sees transforming lives because of Jesus that lives in him and walking in the prophetic, then that's what you can receive. The number of times I've traveled with Greg and been to other countries and seen how they receive, and they're so hungry. I've had the privilege of teaching as we're teaching similar messages we teach here, and the whole front row of pastors sits there weeping. And afterwards, we talked to them. They said, no one's ever told us this before. If you see Tyler, who's going to be taking over the leadership of Northlands as a young kid who used to lead tribe and put holes in walls, and that's what you're going to receive. He's going to come to your house and put a hole in the wall. No, I'm just kidding. But if you see him for the one God called and equipped to take Northlands into this next 25 years for God's plan for this church with power and planting churches, then that's what you can receive. What you perceive will directly result in what you receive. Let me say that again. What you perceive will directly result in what you receive. This whole tension, for lack of a better word, is so amazing to me. Peter Rasmussen, I said, he's coming. I'm not necessarily a prophetic guy. And then he would drop these prophetic bombs on us. And I remember one time he's like, I don't know why that happens. Honestly, you want to know why? Because we're receiving him for the apostolic person he is. We so want to hear from God prophetically that it pulls it out of him. It's almost like he doesn't have a choice. We just pulled it out of him. So he doesn't say that anymore. What you perceive will directly determine what you receive. Okay, number three, becoming a part of something greater. Number three, and this is my last one, we are a team. Guys, we're a team. What teams need most, Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're a team. Some of the most important things about a team is we work together and keep unity as a high priority. Unity is a high priority here at Northlands. We don't allow divisions. We don't allow tearing and pulling. We fix it. We pull together, whatever it takes. But we work together to keep unity, and it's a high priority for us. We bring our strength for the betterment of the team. The gift or role we have isn't for our own benefit. It's a gift that we receive from him for them. We receive it from him for them. It's so important for us to see that whatever our role is, it's for the benefit of the body. Because there's something powerful that happens when a team gets together and works recognizing one another's gifts and what the Lord wants to accomplish. It becomes unstoppable. Remember the Tower of Babel? They all got together, said, this is what we're gonna do. They put their hearts and minds together and they were doing it. Guys, when we come together to accomplish what God wants us to do. We have the ability to do it. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. But the beauty of what God's called us to do is together, and we can accomplish some amazing things. We are better together, amen? We bring our strength for the betterment of the team. And then the third thing is we do and pursue what's best for the team. Who the coach slash Jesus puts in as the starter or the team that's gonna move down the field and the supporting members come alongside. If you're a supporting member, it does not diminish his love, calling, or gifting or anything. Do you realize what has to happen? I'll just pick me. For me to get up here and preach, do you realize all of the things that has to happen for this to get pulled off like it does? There's people we don't even see back in the glass room where they're doing the slides and things. Lynette's back there doing the slides, and Brittany's doing the production back there, and someone else is doing the sound. And when my mic is freaking out, they're trying to help me and tape the back of my head or whatever it is. Before you guys got here, I send my notes to Hannah, who went over to spell check, because you don't want to see my notes without spell check and grammar check. Thank you, Hannah. All of these things go on, so this one thing you're looking at can happen. You know, Tom Brady, I think, is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And second, probably Joe Montana. That's just me. They didn't do it by themselves. You put one of them on the field and go hike the ball to yourself, drop back, throw it, then go catch it. Even against only one other person, they're just going to laugh because they recognize the power of a team. There's something that happens when we pull our gifts together to accomplish what God wants us to do. We always do and pursue what's best for the team. In any team, there are components that seem lesser, and people's eyes I did a little research on a practice squad of a football team. Do you know every football team in the NFL has a practice squad? Did anybody name anybody who's on the practice squads? Didn't think so. Do they get paid? Yeah, they do. They actually get paid pretty well. Most of them get paid over $100,000 to be on a practice squad. Do they ever get in front of the TV? No. Do they ever suit up for games? Usually not. Why would you be on a practice team? Because they have a role to play so the team that you watch on a Sunday morning can accomplish what it does. So that when a kicker goes down, you don't have like 50 kickers sitting on the team going, my turn, my turn. When the kicker goes down, you go to the practice squad, you grab the guy, you suit him up, and he goes. So part of what they do besides cheering and hoping, they better themselves in case they're called upon. And the other thing that they do is they act as the other team to help sharpen and hone the team for each week's game. So they act like the team they're going against so that they can make the first team better. Guys, we have to realize whatever piece of the puzzle this is, there's so many, there's children's ministry works about it. There's people that greeted you in the front when you walked up. There's people manning all these things. We all have a role. And this is just talking about me in this morning. I'm talking about your neighborhood, your neighbors, your coworkers, people you come in contact with. The thing that God has called us to, nations, neighbors. Some of you, this is crazy, some of you are sitting in this room right now, have no idea that one of the things God's gonna call you to is preach the gospel in another country. You don't even know that yet. And if you just said to yourself, oh my gosh, are you serious? It's probably you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, it's gonna happen. The things that are before, the doors that are right in front of you, that if you take what I'm saying seriously and you go, okay, maybe this was for me. Maybe this is such a time for me. And you step into faith and belief and you go, okay, God, what's my role? Watch what he's gonna do. I've watched in the last little bit as I've noticed people that God has pulled in, church planners, worship leaders, people that we're gonna send out to establish churches. And then I've also watched other people who have been in ministry, pastors. We have a lot of pastors that were pastors back in the day and that attend here at Northlands. And every once in a while when I talk to you, I see this little shimmer in your eye. Yeah, come on. And I wanna tell you today, the Lord's not done with you yet. He's percolating this thing and he goes, no, don't pour them in yet. a little longer. And then he's going to pour them in. So in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We belong to Jesus, and the crazy thing in for the call that we have before us, we belong to one another. The gift that lives in you, your gift for me, mine for you, for all of us to work together to see what the Lord can do in our city and in our nation. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 12, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one for each other. If one suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So let me close with this. It's on the back wall back there. We build churches that transform lives by experiencing grace and the Holy Spirit, right? We. It doesn't say I. It doesn't even say him. It says we. What is before us as a church in catching up is an opportunity to not just see neighbors changed, but nations. You know, Greg's whispered this a few times. I fully agree. I think the Lord has given us a nation. He's given us Uganda. Because every time we go there, amazing things happen. And I think that's one of many. Some of you in this room are called to give yourself here locally to the nation, to lead, to pastor, whatever it may be. And some of you are called to the nations. I'm not gonna say this is what it is. I'm gonna let you go before the Lord and let him identify your role. But we build churches. It's a team, we do it together. And every part that comes to the Lord and says, hey, put me in the pot, Lord. Man, it's gonna make something amazing that's gonna transform lives long after we're gone. That's what I honestly believe. So become a part of something greater. Esther 4, the last part, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. I think you've been brought here for such a time as this. Who knows, maybe you've come to Northlands for such a time as this. And let me just say this, if you're visiting and this isn't where you're gonna land or the Lord's called you to another place, maybe the Lord's taking you there for such a time as this. This is what's beautiful about this. This word is for everybody who hears my voice, everyone who's watching online, because I fully believe that you've been called to something for such a time as this. I also believe if you're here as a member, it's the time's now. This is what we get to do. You have a role. How you perceive matters, and we are a team. And we're gonna accomplish what the Lord has put before us, guaranteed. Come be a part of it, amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you design things to partner with us. It blows me away. You could snap your fingers, you could send your angels, you could get done all of the things that you wanna get done without us. But it's your delight to use us. It's your delight to fill us and to equip us for works of service. It's your delight to hone us and pull us and push us into the things that you've called us to. So Lord, in this place and in this time, here at Northlands Church, Lord, would you reveal our roles? Would you help us to perceive correctly? And would you make this amazing team that runs together for your glory, for your praise, and for the things that you want to do? Lord, we're excited for what the next 25 years hold. But Lord, right now, I'm excited for today. I'm excited for the next couple weeks, for the next couple months. All of the things that you've prophesied, we've prayed, we've heard spoken, Lord, we're excited to see them come to be. And so, Lord, we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just realized earlier I did my announcements when I'm supposed to do them right now. So a reminder, baptism. Anybody want to be baptized? QR code on the chair. You can sign up for that. We'd love to see you follow the Lord in baptism. That would be awesome. It's such a great time of celebration and an act of worship. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then I'm not going to keep you any longer in case you're hungry. There is food out in the parking lots for Hispanic Heritage. Love for you to do that. I'm going to invite the prayer ministry team to come forward. Food's going to be going on out there for a while. So please don't forget to go get your kids. They're hungry too. Pick up your children. The prayer ministry team is going to be up here to pray for you guys. They would love to pray for you for anything that we've talked about, but there'll be words of knowledge that come up on the screen of things that the Lord's revealed to them, and they would love to pray for those things too. One thing I want to add, I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I'm going to in the prayer time. If you're here this morning and you've been a pastor, or you've been on staff at a church, or you're in a position where you're like, man, this all sounds great, but it's been tough. You know, I don't know if I got it in me again and all of those things. I want to tell you, I've been in your shoes. I've been in your shoes. I've been in the place where I'm like, the last thing I want to do is continue in ministry or do those things. And Jesus being the kind one that he has, a guy did a prophetic sign, actually when we were visiting here in Georgia. And he said, I just feel like the Lord wants to say something. We did not see this coming. And he got down on one knee and he took my wife's hand and he said, would you give me another go? And we bawled. We bawled because it was just like Jesus to go, hey, my fault, even though it wasn't. My bad, even though it wasn't. It was Jesus just going, Tom and Michelle, I have a calling on you guys that I still need you to do the things I've called you to. Will you give me another go? And when I was preparing for this, I felt like there may be some people here today that you find yourself in that same place. And I want to extend to you what Jesus extended to me. Would you give it another go? Would you forgive? Would you push through? And would you come and do what God's called you to do? And if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to be over here on the left. Love a moment just to pray blessing over you. But with that, guys, thanks so much. Get some food. Don't forget your kids. Please come forward for any prayer, and we'll see you guys next week.